down, lay it all down. When your cares have buried you and there's nothing left to do, lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. But your heart was tired, feared the worst and felt the fire. Lay it all down, lay it all down. Filled with all those anxious thoughts and your doubts became your God. Lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down.
is your name. Lord, we worship you today. We praise you today, Lord. We lay it all down at your feet. Jesus, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we just thank you today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us in all truth. We thank you, Lord, for your word that's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us, for all that you have done, and, Lord, for all the mighty and wonderful things you are about to do. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church this morning, those of you here, those watching and listening in different places, Facebook, YouTube. We welcome you this morning. Just feel led to share some things about what I feel like the Lord's saying to me for this coming year. So I just entitled this morning, A Prophetic Word for 2020, as we're getting into the new year. And again, I don't put much significance on that. It's just we measure time. It seems like most of us look at this time as, you know, reflecting on how the last year went and what God did, maybe some of the trials and struggles and difficulties or some of the victories. But how many of you know we can't keep looking backwards? We have to look forward and move forward and see what the Lord is saying. I want to speak to you first a little bit about the gift of prophecy because it's important to the church. So I want you to turn with me. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 first, and we're going to read verses. Actually, we're going to read, well, we'll read verses 19 through 21 here. Really covered these in just a few weeks ago, of course, but let's just read it. All right. It says here, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, quench not the spirit. Now, literally in the Greek, the word quench there means to do not put out the spirit's fire, the Holy Ghost fire. I say that just to annoy some people that have a problem with that. But that's what the word means in the Greek. Do not quench, put out, hinder the fire, the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he says this. We frequently talk about that verse, quench not the spirit, but we rarely talk about verse 20 that says despise not prophesyings. Now there's a whole level, there's a whole group within the church world, not just one denomination, but many, that despise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They just cannot stand anything. In fact, they just say there's no, either they say there's no gifts for the day or there's no, you know, there's no nothing. They just despise. And the word despise, if you look it up in the Greek, it means to set at naught, to just basically worthless, nothing, has no significance. You just look at it as completely irrelevant. And so he tells us not to do that. Despise not prophesyings. And then he says this, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So when it comes to things of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to prophesying, we're told to test these things. We're told to test and prove them, but definitely not to quench or despise. Just let that sink in for a minute. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Don't put out the Spirit's fire, and do not despise prophesying. Now, the word prophesying in Greek also means, it means to speak by inspiration of God, not just to preach or teach, but it literally means to speak by inspiration. Now, I want you to turn. We're going to go to, it means two things. It means to speak by inspiration of God, and it means also to foretell events before they come. So twofold. But I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to read the first few verses here about the gift of prophecy, because I think it's important. Paul was very adamant about how important this gift was for the church and how he wanted this to be a gift that was manifested in his in the Lord's churches, local churches. So let's look at this. We're going to start at verse 1. And we'll probably read down here through verse, we'll just read through verse 5 for the moment. He says, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. So out of all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, he really emphasizes desire the gifts, all of them, but especially this one, prophesying. And I'm going to explain why. All right, so just stay with me. He says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So prophesying should be edification. That's the building or strengthening of the body. Then he says exhortation. The word exhortation means to call near to Christ. Now, when we say call near to Christ, that means calling people out of sin, out of lukewarmness, out of error. The Holy Spirit's involved in that. The gift of prophecy is going to be convicting and calling you away from sin, compromise, lukewarmness, unbelief. He's going to be calling you closer to Jesus. And so part of the gift of prophecy is not just for the building up of the church, but it's also to call us closer to Jesus and his word, his truth. And then he says this, it's overlooked, comfort. Comfort. Now, we need that because when we know, and let me say this, prophesying means that we're not just reading what God's word says. It means we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us or what he is emphasizing out of the scriptures for a particular time. So the gift of prophecy is more about not what God said, about what he's saying. But remember this, what he's saying will never contradict what he has said. It will never violate any of his morality or principles or any of the scripture. You know, for instance, when the Lord, there's nowhere in the book, and I've said this, in the Bible where it says, Dean Odell, go to Opelika, Auburn, Alabama, start a church in 2009. Nowhere does it say that. But does that violate any principle of scripture or morality of scripture or anything like that? No. But I had to know that in 2000. The Lord spoke that, began to speak that to me toward the end of 2008 and confirmed it many different ways. In fact, yesterday was the anniversary, 11 years ago, we started this church. And boy, have we been through some ups and some downs. We've had some great victories and some setbacks. But that is church. That's doing any kind of ministry. You're going to have victories and you're going to have setbacks. It's just the way it is because we are in a real war. But as he said, verse 3 again, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and to exhortation and comfort. And the comfort there is important because a lot of, when you know what God is saying to you about a particular thing in your life, it really is comforting to know his will, to know his plan, even if everything in the natural looks opposite of that plan. It's comforting to know what God has said because you can stand on that. You can hold to that because if God said it to you and you stay faithful to God, you stay with him, he will bring it to pass. And that is something that I've proven over and over between the Lord and I over many years, that he has spoken to me things and then the devil comes in and the war begins, and everything in the natural looks opposite of what the Lord told me, but I have watched the Lord bring to pass things he told me 30 years ago that he has been doing even in the last few years. He finally has brought those things to pass. Like the ministry school is one of those things. He spoke to me when I was in my 20s about a ministry school, and now last year and this year, it's happening, all right? But again, where does it say Dean Odell start a school of ministry in the Bible? It's not in here. You have to know the voice of the Lord. You have to know the Spirit of God. And that comes through the gift of prophecy, God speaking to you. If you've never experienced this, this is something you need to seek God for, ask God for, and believe. All right, now let's keep going. He says, verse 4 there, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth or build or strengthens himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. He said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he may interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So he's saying here, tongues and interpretation is equivalent to the gift of prophecy. But prophesying, he said, is very important. Now, why? Like I said, let's go to 1 Timothy. I know I messed you up there, but in the order there. What's that? That's, all right, that works. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll go to verse 18. And the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking to what he called a son in the faith, Timothy. And he says this. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwrecked, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. But let's back up. I want to read through verse 18 again slowly here. Get a hold of this today. This is how important it is to discern, receive, understand, desire a word of prophecy, the ministry of a prophet, or the gift of prophecy, whether God's speaking it to you, moving in your life, or he's speaking through someone else. Listen, before I read this again, let me just tell you this right here. Many times for me, the gift of prophecy has come through other people. I've shared this many times. There's a true New Testament prophet that I love. He's a solid brother for many years, older than me, been in the ministry longer than me, Reverend Eugene May. True New Testament prophet. God has used him in my life many times over the years. Powerful. But the Lord's also spoken to me through children. He spoke to me through my daughter Caitlin when she was 5 years old. A prophetic word that made me clearly understand God's will in a matter. And you, what I'm saying is, you have to be sensitive and humble enough to be able to recognize when God is either speaking to you directly or through somebody else, even if it's a child sometimes. You never know how the Lord's going to do it. He doesn't always answer the way you want him to. Like, you know, we'd all love, you know, an open vision and angels and Gabriel standing there talking to us and giving us a message like he did Mary. No, that can happen, but that's not usually the way it's going to happen. All right, but let's read this verse again, verse 18. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou, or that you by them, might war a good warfare. I know I mentioned this and I alluded to this a minute ago, but I cannot stress to you how important it is to hear from God and to know his will for your life, and for a pastor to know his will and direction and plan for a church or a ministry. You really need to know those things, because knowing is part of God's plan and his will for your life, enables you to make it through the intense spiritual warfare that you will face that will oppose that. And just remember this, every time God reveals something or speaks to you or gives you a word or a promise or makes something come alive in the scriptures and says, that's for you, this is what I'm going to do in your life, the devil is coming. Satan is coming. The demons are coming, because they don't want that to come to pass in your life. And they know also it's not just a blessing for you when God's will is done in your life, but it's going to impact other people. So the devil is adamant. When he knows a prophetic word or revelation, gift of the Holy Spirit, a word's been given, like I said, to a church, to a ministry, maybe even to a leader in the world or a nation, he is going to fight that with all of his might. Just remember, Satan and his demons are always going to be against the will of God being done in the earth, which is why we are told to pray, Lord, your kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. There's a war to make sure that God's will is done. Because, you know, the Calvinists out there, they're so deceived, believe God's will is always done in the earth. That's what they believe. Well, that's not what we see in this book, right? Even in this book, 1 Timothy, matter of fact, if you flip over to chapter 2, just to prove a point here. In chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will or desires to have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, do you see that? God desires, he wills all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But do we know from the scriptures and do we know from reality that all men are not going to be saved and all people are not going to come to the truth? So God's will is not always done, all right? Because he's given human beings free will. And that goes against the whole demonic error of Calvinism. Because they don't believe you have free will. They believe God's will is always done. And that it has nothing to do with us. We don't have any free choices. That's just demonic nonsense. But this is why this is important. That we understand God will speak to us. He will show us things to come. In fact, let's go read that verse. Let's go to John 16. Y'all okay? Studying the Bible a little bit? It's okay to study the Bible a little bit on Sunday morning, isn't it? John 16, we'll read verse 12. John 16, verse 12. Now, here's Jesus speaking to the apostles, to the disciples, and he says this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Everybody see that? Go back to John 10, verse 27. Let's cover a few verses this morning. John 10, 27. I love this one right here. My sheep, Jesus said, John 10, 27. I know I'm going quick. They're going to put it up for you. But my sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And as I've pointed out many times, the verb hear and the verb follow in this verse is a present tense Greek verb, which means ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. Basically, my sheep hear my voice. They keep hearing my voice. They're hearing my voice right now. That's the key to continue to stay in prayer, to stay in the word, to stay in a place where whatever it takes, fasting, repentance, diligence to get around. Listen, even to get around people you know, hear from the Lord. You know, some people don't want to be these isolated islands to themselves. And God didn't design us that way, and he didn't make it that way. But this is a principle. God still speaks to his people. And when he's doing that, it is the gift of prophecy working, especially when he's showing you something about his will and something about his will in the future for you. Okay? Very important. I wouldn't have made it so many times. Let me tell you, I went through, you want to talk about the devil trying to destroy and stop me in 2001, at the end of 2001. And I went through some very dark, dark years where I know the devil tried to stop everything. because I knew I was to pastor churches and start ministry school and write other books, and that there were just things God had told me that was his will for my life, and he had confirmed it, not just from me, but other people, through other prophetic people who are sensitive to God's voice. There's things I just knew by the presence of God, things that I knew after when I went to the Brownsville Revival and the power of God hit me so strong and the Holy Spirit would speak to me about things that he would do in the future. And let me tell you, in 2001, things took a turn for the worse. And I thought, I just held on because it looked like in the natural, nothing of that was going to come to pass. When you go from, and all this hit me while I'm pastoring the church, and I lose everything, the church, my income, home, family, everything goes out the window. Now, I wasn't living in sin. I wasn't disobeying God. I wasn't in rebellion. I wasn't in lukewarmness. But sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes the Lord, just like with Job, he's going to allow you to be tested, tried. And that brings me to this right here, is that many of you, and this is part of the word the Lord's given me for this year. Now, can I say this? This word right here is not for everyone, because everyone's not faithful. Everyone's not seeking God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everyone's not holding on. The Lord's looking for faith. Faith is what gets things done. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. So a word is not always for everyone. It just depends. But part of that, the Lord wants me to share with you this word is last night when we were here praying. We have prayer here on Wednesday nights and on Saturday nights. And we were praying here last night, and as we were praying toward the end, I felt the Holy Spirit come on me, and I heard these words very clearly. And he said this to me, and I spoke this out as a word of prophecy. It wasn't tongues and interpretation. It was just a word of prophecy. But the Lord said, I have seen your tears. I've seen your pain, and I have seen your tears. And that this year, many of the things that you've been praying for, especially things that it seems as though it's been forever, that you've been continually coming to the Lord about a certain thing or a certain person or a certain situation in your life. It might be a health situation, a relationship situation, a financial situation. It could be all kinds of difficulties. But the Lord was just saying that your continual coming, you've been seeking God for this, and it just, in the natural, it looks like it's just not going to happen. It's not going to change. And the devil fights you with discouragement and disappointment. And you've battled against that. And you've said no. And you've continued to cry out to God. And the Lord said, for some of you, this again, this is not a word for everyone. And I'll tell you why. Because we're going to go to Luke 18 in a second. But for those who have been like the woman. Matter of fact, go ahead and turn to Luke 18. Who have been like the woman that continued to pester the judge. He said because of her continual coming, she would finally receive the answer to her request. And for some of you who have not given up, you've not given up on God, you're still seeing God. For instance, I get emails and comments and messages from people just like this past week. Listen to me. There are people out there who've contacted me. They were sexually abused when they were children. Some have been raped, even as adults. Some struggle because of those things. They struggle with lust. They struggle with sexual sin. They struggle with addiction to alcohol and pills because they're trying to deal with the pain. Okay. And many of them are Christians. They love the Lord. They're born again. They believe in Jesus. They believe the Bible. And this is for you. You have struggled for years to get free. And you wonder sometimes, you know, the devil comes in, does God care about me? Does God really love me? Because I've prayed, and the answer doesn't come. I just want him to make me feel different. I want him to heal my heart, change me, deliver me. And it seems like you've come again and again and again and again, and nothing changes. And the Lord just wanted me to say to you, this is your year. This is your year. If you haven't let go of him, and you, by your continual coming, you've come to him year after year, month after month, and you haven't lost your faith in Jesus, and the Bible is the word of God, and you're still holding on, and you're seeking God, and you want him, even though you feel like you may be on your last bit of strength, don't let go, because the answer is coming. This is something I'm telling you. This is something the Lord impressed upon me strong. Let's read this in Luke 18. Because this is the Lord was speaking to me last night. This was the verse, the passage that came to me. In Luke 18, verse 1, this is Jesus. He says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. First, let's just hear that. This parable, the purpose of this teaching from Jesus, he's saying, it doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how much pain you're in, how much darkness you're in, how much it appears in the natural that everything is going the opposite way of what you're praying for. And you're really just praying for God's blessing and peace and deliverance and healing, and so that, and that God will use you in some way to help others. It's really not just selfish. It's really, and listen, it's okay to want things for yourself. I'm not saying that. But you, there are people right now, they want to be free. They want to be free and healed and delivered so that they can minister and help others and do what God's called them to do. I know, I get these messages. People are longing. And he says, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. What does faint mean? Draw back, give up, quit. It's too hard. It's too difficult. God hasn't answered my prayer yet. I've been praying about this problem for years, and he just won't answer me. You know what? He's looking for faith that won't give up. You know what? I love the story about Job. Job, it said, was a righteous man. He was so righteous that God was bragging upon him, about him, to the devil. Bragging. Have you seen my servant Job? It's like, Lord, don't brag about me, please. Have you seen my servant Job? I mean, the Lord's just looking down and look at that guy. He's awesome. He loves me. He loves righteousness. He prays. He sacrifices. He's diligent. And the devil goes, nah, blessed him on every side. You've made it easy for him. Let me have him for a while. We'll see if he's. And so the Lord begins to let Job get hit. I can't even imagine. All his children killed. All of his flocks stolen. His crops destroyed. Think about that. And then his health boils upon him. And he falls down. And then his wife, God bless her. Bless her darling heart. Curse God and die. Thanks for the encouragement, dear. Right? Thank God I don't have a wife like that. My wife would be saying, believe God. Resist this. I love it. But can you imagine? His wife is given up to. And Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, granted, people get bent out of shape. The Lord didn't take it, but the Lord allowed it to be taken. And it says, in all this, Job did not sin, and he didn't sin with his mouth. Man, how many of us would be cussing, moaning, groaning, complaining, whining. God doesn't love me. God's forsaken me. Now, I'm not saying Job, you know, as this trial went on, as this time went on, he had some struggles. It wasn't easy. But when the Lord came to him and spoke to him, Job repented over his struggle that he had. Job wasn't in trouble. His friends were, though, who ran their mouth. And you know what they were running their mouth? They were running their mouth, see? You must be in sin because all this happened to you. Listen, for some of you, it's not about that you were in sin. The devil's just trying to stop God's calling and plan and will for your life. And he knows that you have a love for God and you want to do his will. And therefore, you are a threat. You're a big threat. Let me tell you, one person gets on fire for God and gets excited about Jesus and about the power of God and God's word and the truth. Oh, the one person can cause a great stir. That's what he knows. The devil hates any fire. That's why he wants to put it out. That's what we're gonna call Nathan Roberts a fireman. He wants to put out the fires. He's a fireman. I want to start them. So I guess I'm a spiritual pyro, right? The fire, we want to be on fire. Fire spreads. And so the devil always trying to quench the Holy Spirit fire in people and quench their faith and make them weak and make them faint and draw back when God wants us to press on. Let me tell you, let me share with you like a prophetic dream that God gave me right before my terrible trial. And, you know, most of you know, I mean, I'll just say it. You know, my first wife, when I was pastoring a church, just decided to up and leave and get a divorce. She did not have grounds to do so. And she told me she didn't want to be a pastor's wife anymore. That brought, you want to talk about pain and death and destruction into my life. Can you imagine that, pastoring a church happening to you? I mean, it's bad when it happens to anybody like that. But when you're pastoring a church, whoo. And I had friends turn against me. I had all my pastor friends in town turn against me. It was in another city. I mean, it was a rough time. But right before this, I had two dreams. One, I had a dream like 2 months before she did it. And I woke up and told her, little did I know she was planning to do it at that point. I said, I had a dream that you wanted to divorce me. It's like, what? And then I had a dream right before she handed me the divorce papers. And this dream, I was standing in a dry riverbed. And I mean, it was deep and wide, big river. But it was dry bed. And I'm standing there. And all of a sudden, I turn around and I look, and there's a flood of water coming. I mean, huge, like 80 feet wall of water coming toward me. And there's nowhere to go. And I remember it hit me. And it hit me with full force. And it was taking me down this, and I mean, it went from a dry riverbed to white water intense. And I remember in the dream, I was in the rough water and I could see up ahead of me that there was a huge like whirlpool that was going to pull me under. But I remember seeing that right about where that whirlpool was, I saw an angel on this side of the river and an angel on this side of the river. And I could tell they were holding a big scarlet red rope across that river. It was laying on top of the water. And I knew that if I didn't grab a hold of that rope and hang on, that I was a dead man, that it was over. And so I remember reaching up and grabbing that rope as the water pulled me down. And I remember, and I used to scuba dive, and I've shared this before, but I remember being pulled down with such force that it was pulling me head first down, and I knew there were rocks on the bottom, so I covered my head with this arm. I'm holding on with all my might with this arm. And I remember it was at least 70 or 80 feet down. And I'm just holding on, and I know if I let go, it's over. And I mean, I'm talking about I'm holding on with everything I have and trying to protect my head from hitting the rocks. And I don't know how much time passed. You know, there's one of those moments of time loss. And I don't know how much time passed. But all of a sudden, I'm standing still about knee deep in water, but I'm at the by the bank, like the bank's right here where these chairs are. And there's an angel standing right there. And the angel doesn't say anything. He's still holding that rope, and I'm holding that rope. And I knew I made it out of that because I held on. And I knew that the scarlet red rope represented my faith in the blood of Jesus, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. There's nowhere else to go. I'm not going back to the world. They're not going to heal my pain. They're not going to deliver me from the demons. They're not going to take the darkness away. They're not going to heal my broken heart. There's nothing in the world. There's no alcohol, no relationship, no drug, nothing. Nothing's going to heal me. So I knew enough to know I'm not going back to that. Now, did it get rough? Oh, man. It got rough. But I can't tell you how many times. Sometimes I wept till I had no more power to weep because there was so much pain going on and so many problems, financial problems, the children. It was just terrible darkness and depression and discouragement. But how many times, I can't tell you how many times that I went back to that prophetic dream, that prophetic word, and said, Lord, I'm holding on to you because I know somehow, some way, I'm going to make it through this if I hold on to you. And I held on with all my might. And I would pray, and I'm not going to lie to you, I would pray when the devil was telling me, just take that 9mm and just stop this pain. And I would pray. That's how depressed that I became and just discouraged and everything in my life. Again, people would come up to me. People would come up to me and say, what are you doing? You're called to preach. You're one of the best preachers I've ever heard. What are you doing not preaching? I thought, I can't. I want to. I want to do what God's called me to do. I can't. I'm broken. I can't hardly breathe. You want me to preach? I used to tell him, I said, you know what? A guy with a broken leg can't play football for the Tennessee Titans. It's just not going to happen. No matter how bad he wants to. Until he's healed, he's not playing. But I kept coming back to him and saying, Lord, you called me to preach. You called me to teach. I know you called me to start a church and plant churches. I know you called me to do a school of ministry. I know you called me to reach thousands of people before the end of this age. I know what you said. I know what you told me, what you've shown me directly and through other people. I know. Now, I thought after the first year, the trial would end. Didn't. Okay, it's got to end next year. Didn't. Oh, it's got to end next year. Didn't. And let me tell you, I've told my wife, I've shared this. I had, at the time, there were different places I was working. I had married women trying so hard to get me to have affairs with them. In the workplace. I mean, just blatantly handed me the number in hotel rooms. No. No. But you know, when you're lonely and in that kind of pain and you've been rejected, it's real easy. It'd be real easy to go down that road. I said, no, I'm not going to be an adulterer. I'm not doing that. It ain't happening. You have to make up your mind. See, some of you are there right now. You're in, I mean, we've had messages of people that are separated. It's about one spouse is trying to follow the Lord and the other one wants nothing to do with it, and they've been separated and headed toward divorce, and there's children involved, and there's so much pain there, and there's so much struggle, and what do I do? Man. You know, I got a message yesterday, and I'm not going to name names of people. This is private stuff, but this guy crying out saying, I want to be free from my alcoholism. I want to be free. I keep trying and I keep struggling and I keep falling back and I do all right for a while. And then I'm, and you know what? I'm going to be honest. We have human beings, we have some of us, and these are Christians. We have had so many wounds and so much pain from different things in our past. It's almost like any stress will trigger us. And the moment where that trigger is hit by stress or whatever, it's like all of that comes flooding back on us. And most people, what they do then is they run to something for comfort. They run to sexual sin. They run to a pill. They run to alcohol. They run to pornography. They run to something to try to get a feeling to feel better. Some people is shopping and spending lots of money or gambling to get that high. Why don't we just keep running to Jesus? And that's what the Lord wants me to say is keep running to him. Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't draw back. And especially if it seems like your trial has lasted for a long time. I think of the woman who had the issue of blood. It said she had that for 12 years. She went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and it wouldn't go away. She spent all her money on physicians, on medical bills, and didn't get any better. And then finally, under the law, under the Mosaic law, she wasn't even supposed to be out in public around people with an issue of blood. And she comes and she knows Jesus is my only hope. And she gets there and there's such a crowd around him, she can't get to him. How many people would have turned around and gone home, given up, quit? But it says she pressed through the crowd. Can you imagine the crowd that was around Jesus? So much so the disciples said, you're asking us who touched you? We can't tell you who touched you. Everybody's touching you. No, he said, somebody touched me because I felt power go out of me. You know why? Somebody touched him with desperation. Somebody touched him with faith, true faith. That's why it drew the power out of him. And this woman here, I know we're going to read it here. Let's read this. Jesus tells this parable. Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Hear that right there. See, sometimes God doesn't answer immediately. Sometimes the trial and the enemy prevails for a long time. Because God is looking for a certain kind of faith that refuses to give up, to quit, to draw back, to run back to the world. He says it was because of her continual coming, day and night crying out. So this word is for those of you who just have been continually coming to the Lord Jesus over and over and over again. Heal me, deliver me, help me. Please change this situation. Please break through into these impossible people around me, these hard heads, these stiff-necked, hard-hearted people that I want to see saved. And for some of you, it's going to be some people, some hard cases around you that you think, I've tried everything. I've prayed for years. I've fasted. I've preached to them. And nothing seems to work. I can imagine my great aunts and my great grandmother who prayed for me from the time I was born, thinking that right before I came to the Lord, I got worse. I imagine what it looked like to them. We're praying for him, and he gets worse. But sometimes there's a little, with these unsaved people, right before they get saved, there's a little dive down to worse. And then all of a sudden, boom. Let me tell you, when I came to the Lord, when I came back to the Lord when I was 19 years old, it shocked everybody. It even shocked the people who were praying for me to be saved. It shocked them. They were like, what? I mean, one of my aunts, my great aunt Zola, who is probably the most diligent prayer warrior, didn't believe it. She didn't, nah, no. It's kind of like how the church, when Peter was put in prison and they prayed for him to be set free, and then he shows up at the door where they're praying and says, oh, it can't be him. It's just got to be his angel or something. What in the world are you praying for? Right? No, the answer comes. Verse 8, he says here. Let's read verse 6 through 8 again. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? I find this very interesting that he put that in this parable here, in this teaching. I believe he referred to the last days, particularly about this, because the devil and the demons would be on such a rampage, and there would be such deception and error and false prophets, and so much deception and so much sin. And remember, he said sin will abound. That the love of many, there'll be so much sin and iniquity that the love of many would grow cold. There'll be so many false prophets. I mean, really, if you look around, if you just look at the world, if you look at the condition of what's called the church in America, if you look at that, it's easy to get discouraged. It's like, is there anybody left that has real faith anymore? I'm not talking about mega church cotton candy faith. I'm talking about real faith. Real faith. And notice she's talking about avenge me of my adversary. Meaning she understands this is a picture of the spiritual warfare. Satan bringing temptation, sickness, division, strife, pain, loss. This is the battle. She's saying, avenge me of my adversary. Intervene, judge. Intervene for me. And he says, I'm telling you, an unjust judge, a judge that didn't care about God, didn't care about men, only cared about himself, obviously, right? But he said, you know what? This woman won't quit. But then the Lord says, will not God avenge his own elect, which cry to him day and night? Do you believe that? Don't lose your faith right now. We are entering a season where we're going to enter, I shared this a few weeks ago, we're going to enter a storm. The storm is going to gradually get worse and worse in the world around us. But remember how I talked about in the midst of that storm, God spoke to Paul and said, you're going to have to, you're going to lose everything. There's going to be a war. There's going to be a storm. But I'm going to put you on an island. I'm going to save everybody that's with you. So in the midst of the storm, he says, there's going to be a revival. I'm going to answer your prayers. Paul, I'm going to do great things. There's going to be a healing revival on an island. You hear what I'm saying? In the midst, as this storm increases, hear what I'm saying. Those that have been praying, continually seeking God for deliverance, for healing, for the revelation of his will in their life, for breakthrough with trials that seem to have gone on for years, you know why it's gotta happen? If you're one of those that have been continually coming to the Lord, seeking deliverance, seeking healing, seeking breakthrough, you know why it's gotta happen? Because we're running out of time. We're running out of time. And God needs you to be healed and strengthened and ready and seeing some answers to your prayers so that you'll be encouraged. And that's why I'm telling you, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to move powerfully this year for those who have been faithful and continually seeking, even though your trial has lasted a long time. And I think about the people who give up right before the answer comes. Don't be one of those. I mean, God's in the process of saying, hey, Gabriel, Michael, you guys go answer this prayer. They're on their way. And you say, you know what? God's not going to answer my prayer. I'm going back to the bar. I'm going back to my old drug dealer. Gabriel and Michael, turn around, go back. Don't let that happen. You see, the thing about it is we don't know the day God's going to answer our prayer. But he's going to answer. And he's going to move. And I'm telling you, I said some great things. And I'm not just saying this, because y'all know I don't just say these things. I don't just make these things up. But I'm telling you, last night in prayer, the Lord was like, some great things, some big things are going to happen this year for the people who have been faithful, for the people who keep crying out. Let me give you another passage here. Let me give you one more. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 35. Everybody there? Hebrews 10:35. Let's read 35 through 39 here. And he says here, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, I believe the will of God here is the faith that will not let go. The faith that will continually go to him, hold on to Jesus, believe. And then he says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Again, a reference to the second coming of Jesus, to the last days. And he says this, now the just, or those who are righteous, who are walking in Jesus Christ, who are walking in faith, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So he's saying, don't cast away your confidence. Your confidence in what? In whom? Your confidence in God, that God will answer your prayer, that God hears you, that even though he hasn't answered, remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith holds to something when it does not see it. You hear me? And he says, cast not away that confidence, because there is a great reward. Oh, let that sink in. The ones who won't give up their confidence, their trust, that God hears and that God's going to answer and that God's going to break through and that there is going to be a victory. He says there is a reward. You hear me? He wants to reward. He will. Some of you are going to be sending me testimonies at the end of this year. I know it. Look at that verse 38 again. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God says, I have no pleasure whatsoever in those who draw back, who faint, who give up, who quit, who take a step back. Keep stepping the wrong direction. No. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. See, drawing back leads to the word perdition, destruction. Don't draw back. But we are them that believe to the saving of the soul. See, he that endures to the end, Jesus said, will be saved. You want to see miracles? You want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. You want to be a light to people around you. You want to see answers to prayer. Just keep crying out. Keep seeking him. Keep believing, not just that he hears you, but that he will answer, that the reward will come. And that reward comes to the faithful. It comes to the diligent. It comes to those who refuse to give up. So, well, Pastor Dean, I've fallen down. I feel like I've given up. I've fallen back into drugs, or I've fallen back into alcohol and drunkenness, or I've fallen back into sexual sin. Listen to me. You got to believe God loves you even if you're struggling. Now, doesn't mean you don't take it seriously. But you just got to confess your sin and get up and walk away from it again. You hear me? You can't give up just because you fell down again. If you give up, if you beat yourself up, if you let guilt and shame and a failure complex come in and say, I just can't do it, and you're going to stay wallowing in the pig pen, you will never make it. Get up. The Bible says this in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your sins. We all sin. We all fall down. Maybe sometimes worse than others, some more than others. But regardless, we all sin. There is none of us that don't sin. So confess your sins. Don't let them become a habitual practice, a lifestyle. Keep the fear of God in you enough to say, I've got to get up. And I've got to keep going until this besetting sin and this stronghold, this addiction, this thing that continually comes up in my life is broken. And the only way you're going to break it is to ask God to forgive you and to get up and try to walk to him again. Listen, when children, little toddlers are trying to learn to walk, when they're little, first trying to take their first steps, we help them up. And they start, they take a step, and guess what? They fall down. And what do? We walk over and help them up, and then we move back again. And this time they'll take, last time they took one step, now they'll take two steps. They might fall down. Listen, I don't care if you keep struggling or you keep falling down. You can't give up or you will never walk. You hear me? And the Lord has no desire to give up on you. It won't be him giving up on you. It'll be you giving up on him. So I guess that's enough for today. Maybe. I just know God will answer your prayer. You know, our church, Fire and Grace, we've been through, I look over the last 11 years, man. There's been some people in and out of these doors. Up and down. All around. But you know what? All I know, keep pressing forward. Because I know there's a reward just ahead of us. I know there is a harvest just ahead of us. I know there is a revival ahead of us. How do I know that? Prophecy. So by those prophecies, I'm going to continue to war a good warfare. And I'm not going to draw back and let my faith become shipwrecked. Because we're too close to the end, folks. We're too close to the end. Let me say this. One thing that's not going to happen in 2020, can I tell you that? The rapture. I almost forgot. Can we put up my friend here? I don't know if he knows me or not. This dude, Pastor Sandy, he's predicted the rapture. He's a pre-trib rapture teacher. He's predicted the rapture, I think, 2004, 2011. I talked about him in my Pre-Tribbers Gone Wild video a few months ago because he was predicting the rapture would happen in June or July of 2019. Guess what? It didn't happen. I told him it wouldn't happen. And now, once again, now he's back. And it's happening. He says it's going to happen in 2020. Can I tell you, the rapture will not happen in 2020. You can bank on that. You could take that one to Vegas and win a lot of money. It will not happen. You hear me? Say, look at his little chart here. The time is here, 2020. How this man has anybody still following him after how many times he's predicted the rapture and it hadn't happened, I don't understand. But I needed to say that. We are going to go through it. And let me just tell you, what is Jesus talking about in that parable anyway? He's talking about faith to endure to the end, to stand, to not let go, to not give up, to not draw back. Pray for Pastor Sandy. These pre-trib, stop predicting it. Just since I've been saved, they've been predicting it. The ex-NASA employee was the guy that came out with the 88 reasons the rapture is going to happen in 88. Then when it didn't happen, he wrote another one why it's going to happen in 89. Then he wrote another one why it was going to happen in 1991. The fact that he worked for NASA, which ought to have been a big hint, disinformation agent. But then there was Harold Camping. Oh, there's been so many. And now this dude. And thousands of people all over the world listen to this guy. And still follow him. And I read, you know what's more disturbing than him is the comments. Oh, Pastor Sandy, what a revelation. What about his revelation in 2019 that didn't happen? Or 2011 or 2004 or whatever? Stop. Stop. So if you want to know something for sure you can bank on in 2020, there will not be a pre-tribulation rapture. So that's free. And if you want to see the message where I talked about this, it's pre-trippers gone wild. Just scroll down. You'll see it. All right, let's stand this morning. Let's do one song. Let's do every word that I'm listening, whatever it is. I never know the titles anymore, hon. Let's do this before we go. Just worship with us before we leave this morning.
Just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid, 'cause you speak and freedom reigns. There is hope in every single word you say. I don't wanna miss one word you speak. 'cause everything you say is life to me. I don't wanna miss one word you speak. So quiet my heart, I'm listening.
Yes, Lord. Father, right now I pray for those out there, Lord, who need deliverance. Lord, for those who need the spirit of addiction broken, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name right now that that be broken. Lord, the spirit of addiction, alcohol addiction, porn addiction, lust addiction, sex addiction, pills, drug addiction, we just break addiction. We bind those demon spirits of addiction. We bind them, break their power, tear down those strongholds, and we command those spirits to go. Loose those people. Leave them now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for your power. Lord, for your healing power. You came to heal the brokenhearted. And Lord, those that have been abused, sexually abused, physically abused, emotionally abused, Lord, those that are wounded in their heart, in their spirit, in their soul, Lord, we pray that your healing power will flow, that it's by your stripes we were healed. Jesus, you came to heal the sick, but also to heal the brokenhearted and the traumatized, Lord. So we pray for healing in hearts, Lord. And Lord, even where you've started that work in people, pour out more of your spirit in them and continue to heal them and deliver them. Or people that have been bound by pornography and sexual addiction because of sexual abuse and sexual immorality in their lives, and there's just a stronghold there. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we bind the spirits of whoredoms, lust, perversion, pornography. We bind those demons right now of sexual molestation, the demons that came in through rape or molestation or abuse. We bind those demons, break their power, and command them to go loose and leave that person right now in Jesus' name. We rebuke those devils and command them to go out of that person. In Jesus' name. Lord, those people that need that, Lord, I pray your power. We command these demons, these strongholds to be broken and these demons to go from them. Now we command them to go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we loose these captives. And we pray for those with broken hearts, and we pray for those that have been struggling or about to faint or about to give up, that they would hold on and keep believing and keep seeking and keep crying out to keep hold of their faith in Jesus and the Word for the situation to turn around. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We love y'all. We really do. Even the firemen. God bless. Hug some necks before you leave.